Welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and I'm here with Tristan Vick, as always.
How's it going?
Doing all right. Today, we've got a special episode for you. We've got the MLS All-Star roster just released. We're going to be talking a little bit about it. Tristan's going to take us on a run-through of it. And then we've got something a little fun planned. We're going to do the mid-season awards for FC Dallas. We've got 10 or 11 awards, and Tristan and I have both come up with our picks for the awards, but neither one of us knows what the other one's picked. So it should be fun seeing who we choose for each award and whether we have any consensus or not. So stay tuned for that later in the show.
I think we'll have some consensus on a few of these.
I think you're probably right. So let's go ahead and get started with the MLS All-Star roster.
All right. So this is a combination of the fan picks, which baseball does this, and I think basketball does this as well. And then they have some coaches picks that they have. The All-Star coach will be the Chicago Fire head coach, Paunovic, which has been probably the biggest surprise of the season as far as MLS is concerned, the rise of that team. So on the forward side, obviously you got the Toronto FC with a heavy presence with Jozy Altidore and Giovinco up there. And then Dom Dwyer was the commissioner's pick. Dwyer obviously made his debut for the U.S. men's national team this year and has already picked up a couple goals in the Gold Cup, but he'll be back home with Sporting Kansas City and won't be playing in the knockout rounds. Then you have the Chicago Fire Nemanja Nikolic, who has been basically the surprise of the season. The Hungarian international has played in the Euro 2016 World Cup. He's active in the World Cup qualifying, but he's also scored 16 goals for the Fire, which makes him almost a shoe-in. And then the one, when everybody criticizes MLS and they talk about old people coming here to retire, the one player that you can point to somebody who still keeps up a high quality play would be David Villa. I know that washed up guy, Steven Gerrard.
Hey now.
Who you're a big fan of, came here, didn't really do a whole lot besides play with a big scowl on his face the entire time.
It's a scouser scowl.
That's right. He was looking for a car to break into. And then Villa, though, has been the exact opposite. He really has contributed both with 12 goals, 6 assists, and he's somebody that NYCFC has really been built around, and they have a great combination of youth and then experience. In the midfield, we've got some FC Dallas rep there. We've got Kellen Acosta, whose numbers look down, in my opinion, but that's only because he's played 13 matches and he's kind of had his season interrupted by these international breaks. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists, but the goals have all been really important. And last year, he was basically the MVP of that team by leading them to that U.S. Open Cup. I think partnering with him, we got Miguel Amaron of Atlanta United, who's been a huge surprise. The Paraguayan international, somebody that is probably one of the best, most talented technically players in the MLS. And Atlanta United, I don't know if you've watched much of their matches. They're really fun atmosphere. I mean, that atmosphere is great.
Yeah, they've sold out that college stadium like every time.
Yeah, and when they get the new stadium built, it's going to be just, it's going to be rocking.
If they can ever get that roof to close.
Hey, you don't need to. I was watching a lot of Wimbledon this past couple weeks, and they barely needed that roof. Didn't rain much at all, so you never know. Michael Bradley, obviously there. The guy is quite the engine. Giovanni Dos Santos, who was playing with Mexico in the Confederations Cup from LA Galaxy. And then, of course, they have to have Kaká because he's one of the few people in MLS that's won a World Cup. People forget that, but he did win a World Cup with Brazil in 2002. I've watched all 13 minutes that he's played. I don't think he'll be playing, but, you know, it's always fun to have somebody who said, hey, I was the best player in the world 10 years ago, selected to the All-Star team. Dax McCarty, the Chicago Fire midfielder, he is in this match. Ignacio Piatti, because you got to throw a bone to the Canadians. He's an Argentinian, but he's from Montreal. He's somebody that last year had a great season. Bastian Schweinsteiger, he's another World Cup winner, but he's probably the one that you'll actually see on the field. I'd imagine that he starts. I bet you they gave him the armband. I don't know. It's Real Madrid's tough team. They're going to need some talent out there. Diego Valeri is their midfielder there. He tore Dallas to shreds when they went up to Portland a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
DeMarcus Beasley is combating Father Time. He's just been incredibly consistent. Greg Garza, Atlanta United. I mean, there's a bunch of players in the MLS now that have tried to make it over in Europe, and a lot of them that were Greg Garza's age came from the, I think it was the 2013 2013. It may have been the year before that. U-20 World Cup team, or the Olympic team that was really promising, but Garza was one of those players, and they seem to have found a home. The upside of expansion is more spots for players that maybe don't cut it out in Europe. And then FC Dallas's own Hernan Grana, he first year in MLS, goes ahead and makes the MLS All-Star game. He's played a lot, so I guess he's got that going for him. But he's got decent stats. I personally wouldn't rate him as the top right back in MLS, but the fans picked him. And then Matt Hedges, obviously Mr. Consistency. He was an amazing rock for the FC Dallas defense last year. What I've been impressed with most with Hedges this year is the ability for him to just be partnered with whoever and make something out of that defense. And that's something that most center backs either look for most managers look for in a center back. So I can understand that. I also think that he provides a pretty steady hand when it comes to experience. Will he get outplayed by Real Madrid? I mean, probably, but at the same time, you know, he'll be up for it. It'll be a fun match. Those All-Star games are always, never know what to expect with those. They're always some weird modgepodge of tactics and players. Who knows what will happen, but he'll have his work cut out for him. And then John Kapelhoff is a Chicago Fire defender. He's been a big part of that team, making sure that that team is not conceding. It's making sure that the team able to keep those clean sheets. And again, another player that comes over from Europe and is able to make a direct impact right away. Michael Parkhurst, I disagree with this one. I think this is one of those fan votes. He's been good, I guess you could say. He's been above average. But Michael Parkhurst is...
I think he was a coach's pick.
Well, either way.
Him and Grana were both coach's picks, I think.
Parkhurst definitely needs to be... I think there are people that are more deserving. Akapara in Sporting Kansas City was much better, in my opinion, this first half of the season. And really and truly, you could probably find a couple of players that should be included above him. You got Van Damme from LA Galaxy, who really and truly is somebody that has kind of stepped into a unique situation with the Galaxy for once not being the top team in the league. Graham Zusi, I guess you got to put him in there. Midfield looks kind of crowded. He's working on that defender. He's been playing back there for the national team as well. So I can understand him being voted in there. He'll be good from set pieces, which will be kind of fun to watch. Stephen Fry of Seattle has been playing really well. And then Tim Howard makes his third appearance. I don't know that Tim Howard is somebody that I would put in the All-Star game right now. I think that Bill Hamid, and I definitely think that our own Jesse Gonzalez in Dallas has been playing better, but nonetheless, the fans picked him. He's in.
Can we put the FC Cincinnati goalkeeper in there?
Yes, absolutely.
Mitch something or
yes, not. Yes, Mitch was amazing. That was if it goes to penalties, it's Colin Mitch because he will stop them all. So that's your MLS All-Star game. They play Real Madrid on August 2nd. And it's going to be quite fun to watch because I've been watching some of these preseason friendlies. I watched this morning's Dortmund match. I watched some of the Real Madrid, Real Salt Lake, Man United. If you catch them off, you might be able to get a good W or something of that sort. And Madrid's not exactly a settled squad. Yes, they won the Champions League, but got rid of James. Kind of in transition on some moves with rumors left and right about their big stars wanting to move or not being able to play as much with Bale and Ronaldo, tempting fate at times, but we'll see. Maybe they play a full strength side and they crush the All-Stars, but I fancy Madrid maybe 3-1, 3-2, but I think MLS gets some goals.
Yeah, I think that they'll keep it respectable, but I think that even though Real Madrid is just now getting their season, their preseason underway, I barely played together since they've been on break, but I think they'll still prevail.
Yeah, I would assume so. I'm definitely think there are some players that could have been in there and didn't make it. But hey, Houston's got to be upset that there was no Cubo Torres. I mean, that guy's been amazing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Diego Fagundes, fans have been really wanting that guy from New England. He's been making a big impact on them. But I don't know. I mean, there's a... Obviously, I think the team that's going to be most upset will be Sporting Kansas City. But... Yeah, we'll see.
Excellent. Well, definitely look forward to that game.
Absolutely.
But now we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to come back to Frisco, and we're going to talk about our mid-season awards for FC Dallas. So these awards are made up by us, but they represent how Tristan and I view the squad midway through the season. So let's go ahead and get started.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go for it.
All right. So our first award is the Pinch Hitter Award. It's the award for the best stand-in player. We've had so many players that have been in with the international team or injured, and we've had to have a whole lot of players come in and quote-unquote pinch hit for them. And so we are going to give this award to the player we think that's done the best job at coming in and deputizing in a role. So, Tristan, who did you pick for your Pinch Hitter Award?
All right. I'm going with Maynard Figueroa, the defender who has basically played all over the pitch and or all over the back line. He's had 9 appearances at left back, 5 at the center back, 2.5 tackles per match, 2 interceptions, and he's got 3.4 clearances per 90 minutes. This is the ultimate plug-and-play defender. And when we've had his injuries and then international call-ups for people like Hedges, Zimmerman, Atiba Harris, they've been able to put Figueroa anywhere on that back line, and he's somebody that's remained rock steady.
Interesting. Yeah. So Maynard Figueroa was my runner-up. My winner for this award was Victor Ulloa. I think that the partnership he's been able to come in and form with Grezo in the midfield and in Kellen Acosta's stead, they've really gelled together and have formed a pretty solid defensive midfield pairing.
No, I think Ulloa is great. He's somebody that you don't necessarily leave a match thinking that was the best player on the field, but oftentimes he's the type of player that you don't mention his name very much because he's doing his job. So that's a great pick. I didn't do any runner-ups, but he would definitely be up there.
Awesome. Okay, so our next award, we're calling it the Houdini Award for the player that's most likely to go missing, pop back up, go missing, and pop back up.
I'd just like to point out that Dustin made the names, not me. I texted him today and said, look, I could come up with a name, but I'm not that creative. So leave it to the computer developer and the software writer to come up with the names versus the tax accountant. So
hey, our list is in a spreadsheet, so that should make you happy.
That does make me a little happy.
Okay, so the Houdini Award. So my pick for this was Tesho Akindele. I feel like he's a little wasted out on the left wing where he's been playing lately, and he just kind of disappears. And then, you know, whenever he switches over towards a more central role, hey, he starts making some plays, and then he'll switch back to the left.
I think you mean A, not hey, because he's Canadian.
Oh, he's out on the wing, eh?
That's right.
Oh, this is terrible. But yeah, he's definitely my winner for that award.
Gotcha. No, I think that's a good pick. Tesho is somebody that had a really great rookie season and has really not struggled, but he's become a reliable player, but somebody that you can also, like you said, go 3 or 4 matches where you just really don't even think about anything he's done. My pick was Michael Barrios, which might seem a little bit
hot take
to some people. Yeah, I guess so. But this is my problem. When you watch Barrios in person at matches, you can only help but notice how much his running is there and how much he chases the ball and chases the game. My issue is the guy is 5'3". I mean, it's like Muggsy Bogues out there trying to battle some of these defenders, and he can disappear for matches. He also is notorious for being offsides. He's got a goal. He's got 8 assists this season, but there have been games where he just seems to have not done anything. I find that Barrios goes missing often because he's the only guy on the team that has a lot of pace that really threatens. Maybe he'll come on more in the second half as somebody that teams really have to account for, but he's kind of a one-trick pony. I mean, it works sometimes, but when it doesn't work, you never really see him.
Yeah, I can see that pick. I feel like the games where this happens are probably against some of the more physical sides where his size is just kind of nullified by the size of the defenders.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. He definitely needs somebody to go up against that maybe isn't 6'1". Type of defender, somebody a little bit smaller. All right, next award was the best signing of the season so far. Dustin, what was your name for this?
My best signing of 2017 so far is Roland Lamont. He was also up there in my Houdini Award pick, but he tends to score in fits and spurts, but he's scored a lot of goals so far for us. And given the other signings that we've got, he's definitely probably the best one for me.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I actually went with Lamont as well. 8 goals. He's got great interchange with players. You think back to his hat trick against a putrid RSL team, but also he scored some recent goals, which have been really important for the team during this midseason run where you had a lot of players that were key out on international break, international duty. I think that his physical presence is something that is really good when he's not scoring, that can really help run the defense ragged so that you have a tired defense, a tired back line that you throw on that extra central to throw on a guy like Teshua Kandeli or Barrios, and you're running against a much more depleted defense and you're able to make a bigger impact. Also, I mean, it's FC Dallas, right? Like, they value versatility, and he's been able to kind of start wherever, and as long as it's up front or even in the midfield at times. And that's something that Oscar Pereja really values in terms of player skill set. And you're talking about a 29-year-old veteran, basically, from Europe that has a ton of experience. It's surprising. It would be more surprising if he didn't fit in well, but I think we can expect him to maybe not 8 more goals, but definitely 5 or 6 for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised you didn't choose Coleman.
I thought about it, but yeah, tough. Tough luck.
All right. So this next award is the goal of the midseason. So this one's a little bit tough for me because I didn't start following FC Dallas real closely until Tristan and I decided to start this podcast. And that was kind of like halfway through the midseason, or halfway through the first part of the season. So really this is like the goal of the quarter season for me. But I chose Maxi Arruti's goal from the Portland Dallas game, where Portland was up 1-0, and in the 61st minute, Arruti took the ball into the corner of the box and curled it into the far corner of the net.
Hey, there you go. That's the goal of the season for me as well.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about, yep, top corner. Yeah, no, I think that even if you watch the entire season, it's going to be one of the Arruti goals. But that goal, you're right, that was a beautiful goal. It was important.
Yeah, there's probably more important goals scored by other players, but that one was A, important, and B, beautiful.
I mean, I guess the other important, or not important, but nice goal was the Morales free kick, because it was validating that he actually did something this year. But besides eat donuts, I mean, the Arruti top
savage.
I mean, Frisco has great food. But one thing they definitely have is a lot of donuts. If we were in Britain, they'd say pies. But anyways, the one goal that I really, really, really thought was good. I mean, they're all Rudy goals. There was Kellen Acosta had some great goals against Los Angeles at the beginning of the season in like the first or second match of the year. But I think Rudy's been somebody that you can need a goal and rely on to get you something when you really, really need it. And yes, that Portland goal was something we needed. It was not only something that you don't see often, but it was incredibly deftly touched. I mean, top corner, incredible turn.
Curled it around 2 defenders and the goalie.
Well, and before that, he had lost the ball and he went back and retrieved it. So it was almost as if he was making up for that lost opportunity that he didn't get beforehand. So.
And we will link the video to this on our website at DallasSoccerShow.com in the show notes for this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to see it. It's a great MLS goal, and it's something that I think you'll be impressed with when you kind of say, who's this guy again? Yeah, so that was what I got. What about for best match? You said you've only seen a quarter of the season so far, but I think you caught a good one.
Yeah, so actually, this is a match that I caught on DVR. I really wish I was there. It was the one that was on our birthday. I was actually on a beach somewhere, but when I got back, I watched it, and I really wish I had been at the game. It was the 3-1 victory over Toronto on July 1st. I think that we had just come off a run of some rather stale performances on the road. We picked up a draw, and I don't even remember. I just remember being down about the away trip, and we come back and to to knock away one of the top, if not the top team in the MLS right now, and just beat them with authority. I think that's really important, and I really wish I was at that game.
Yep.
However, I have a runner-up for this as well.
Okay.
It was the first match that you and I went to. It was a 0-0 draw against Houston, but Mauro Diaz made his comeback in that game, and that was a really, really special moment.
There you go.
And so for that reason, that would be my runner-up best match.
Your first Texas Derby.
Yeah, it was my first Texas Derby.
I mean, I've got to go with the 6-2 RSL victory, or victory over RSL. I went back and watched the highlights. They scored 5 goals in the first half. Everybody was clicking. I know RSL is, if we had promotion relegation, they would probably be one of the teams that gets relegated. But it is still incredible to see a team score 5 goals in one half. So I went with that. The other important part of that was you had Jesus Ferreira score his first goal. That is a testament, in my opinion, to the way that Oscar Perea sets up this club. And when you have players like that coming through that are scoring goals in MLS league matches, you are showing a huge, huge emphasis placed on that academy system. And it's just one more great argument for why Dallas has positioned itself as the top club in Texas.
Yeah, it was definitely a great match. And, you know, it was probably up there for me as well. Just the quality of the opponent is what swayed me towards the Toronto match.
Yes.
Cool. All right.
Worst match.
Yeah, the worst match. Tristan, what do you have for that award?
So I wouldn't have gotten to it for a number of reasons, but also because it was halfway across the country. And that was the Portland 2 Dallas nothing match. I think it was our first or second match we covered. It was not only a loss, but it was a loss that could have been worse than it really was. I felt that there was just nothing good from that match beyond the fact that they didn't put more than 2 past us.
Yeah. So my runner-up was the San Jose match where we lost. I just think it was another one of those things where, like, we lost to a fairly mediocre side and there really was no good excuse for it. But my winner was also that game at Portland where we lost 2-1. And, you know, I think you pretty much summed everything that I was going to say up, right, with what you said.
Totally disjointed. There was no real spark in the squad. I mean, just all the things you were hoping for.
Yeah, it just left me feeling real bad, like with a sports depression.
That's not good.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I know.
Okay, so the most improved player award. Who do you got for this one, Tristan?
So this was tough because I haven't seen a whole lot of them. But I really think Kellen Acosta is somebody who has improved the most this season. I could have gone for a Rudy here, but you'll see why in a little bit why I didn't. I think that Acosta is somebody who is not only improved with his on the field skills, but he's somebody that has become a player that the rest of the academy teams look up to. He feels that responsibility to show that you can rise up through the academy. My other thing that I looked for in this was, has your performance improved? And I definitely feel like Acosta is not only becoming more attacking, but he's also somebody who's growing into that role and creating opportunities for others. When he starts playing regularly with Diaz, Mauro Diaz and him are going to be one of the top midfield duos in MLS. And I think that Oscar Perea cannot wait for the Gold Cup to end. If he could have his way and if FC Dallas fans could have their way, they would love for the United States to lose to El Salvador. It's not going to happen. I've seen El Salvador in person. They're a very small team. So I expect the United States to win that and make it on to the semis and then finals. But I think they would love to have him back now rather than later. So my pick's Acosta.
Yeah, I just didn't see enough of Acosta. He just hasn't played enough for me to really pick him. So my pick for most improved, and this may come as a surprise to you, given as much stick as I've given him, is Hernan Grana. When we first started watching the games together, I was very vocal about how bad he would be on defense or how bad he would be going forward. He's always been pretty good going forward, but like he could never go forward well and defend well. And the past 3, 4, 5 games or so, he has really started to grow into that, you know, that right flank role where he's going up and down the field and has really been able to contribute on defense and offense. So he would be my pick for most improved player.
Gotcha. Not bad. All right. So now we'll go to the position specific awards. So we'll start at the top. Best forward.
Shall we say it at the same time? 1, 2, 3. Maxi Arruti.
I mean, Arruti has been, he's not, like we said, he's not going to light up the highlight reel every night, but he's going to get you a goal when you need one. I looked through the fixture list and the goals that he scored, and I think it's 3 or 4 goals that he scored that were the difference between 3 points and 1 point, or 1 point and no points. I mean, those are the types of goals that matter. They are not goals that were necessarily highlight reel material, but they were effective. What's impressed me most about him this season is that he's kind of become this multidimensional player that can kind of take whatever's given to him and run onto the ball, or he can hit in the crosses, or he's going to create his own space like we did for the goal of the season so far. So that's what I really liked about him.
Yeah, I think the way he's been, just the engine he has is super impressive. The running, he'll go up and do a high press, and then, you know, we lose the ball and are getting countered and our defense is nowhere to be seen, but there's Maxi Arruti there to break up the play. It's crazy. So
yep,
that happened on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, no, he's gets that license to roam.
Yeah. So moving from the forward position back down towards midfield, the best midfielder of midseason award. Who do you got for that one, Tristan?
For best midfielder, I've got Kellen Acosta. I think that he is somebody that really changes the dynamic of this team. It's captured in his stats. He's got a great rating per match. He's somebody that has created goals. He's scored goals. And he's also great at the tackle. One thing I love about watching Kellen in person is that you can really tell he's up for the match. Any match it is, doesn't matter who the opponent is. It doesn't matter what they necessarily need in that situation, but he's going to make sure that he's giving 110% and that the players around him are as well. I think that Diaz could surpass him here if he keeps having a great season, but for now, Costa's my man.
Solid choice, sir. Given 3 or 4 more matches of Diaz on the pitch, I think I probably would have chosen Diaz, but he just came back, so I don't think I could pick him. My best midfielder award player, it would be Michael Barrios. And I know you gave him the Houdini Award for going missing. I just think that the plays he's been able to create have been invaluable. He's been able to get behind defense and set up a Rudy for a couple of really important goals. And for the same reason that I put a Rudy as best forward, that engine, Barrios has that same engine. He just plays a little bit further back. You know, it's really impressive to watch him get the ball on the wing and just fly past defenders. So yeah, that's my pick.
Gotcha. Yep. Now I can understand that. All right. Then going next, we can wrap it up with midseason MVP. Most valuable player.
Let's not forget best defender.
Oh, I did forget that. All right, so you go ahead.
All right, so the best defender award for me,
yes,
was Minor Figueroa.
There you go.
Is that yours as well?
Yeah, no, it was. Why'd you like Figueroa?
He was just solid. There was hardly a time that I could remember him being in the defense and being worried about something that he had done. I felt like any time he was called upon, he took care of business.
Yeah, no, definitely. He was able to be plugged and played anywhere he needed to. So I definitely can understand somebody wanting to play him in his like natural position, which I think is kind of on the wing. But if you need a center back because you've had injuries and you only have some inexperienced backups, then why not put him back there? The guy's put in World Cups. Granted, they don't win matches, but he's somebody that has a lot of experience. And he's really shown this year that he can not only bring that experience to his position, but help maybe a new defender. I can't count the different partners he's had at center defense, but he's had quite a few with Hedges on international duty and then Zimmerman being hurt. So he definitely makes the players around him look better, which is what you want in a defender.
Yeah, I think, interestingly enough, I think that one of the best positions he's played is when he's played center back for us. But and also shout out to my coworker, Jimmy, who is of Honduran descent. And I hear about Minor Figueroa at work.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's played in England. He's probably one of their favorite players. I can understand why he would give the shout out. You don't work with anybody from St. Kitts and Nevis, so Atiba Harris doesn't get a big shout out.
Well, you know, if he qualified for the best defender, he might get a shout out. But that wasn't the case.
Fair enough. St. Kitts and Nevis also has 55,000 people, so I don't think there's a whole lot of people there that have moved. So there's also that.
All right, so we're going to wrap things up with our mid-season MVP award. If I had a drumroll machine, I'd put a drumroll in here, but very nice, Tristan. So what was your mid-season MVP, Tristan? Who was your mid-season MVP?
So American of me to do the person that scores goals, but I got to go with Max Arruti. He's been incredibly consistent. Like I said, there's not a whole lot more I can add to that beyond that. But also, when it seems like we don't have a goal or we need a goal, he comes up big and comes up big in bunches. So I'm going to go with Arruti and hope it stays that way throughout the rest of the season, because goals and MLS this year seem to be what's really driving the table. It's having a good defense matters, but there's been a lot of 3-1s, a lot of 4-2s. These past couple matches have had lots of goals. So as long as we're scoring, I'm feeling good.
I completely concur. My midseason MVP was as well Maxi Arruti, for all the reasons you just said. Goals are awesome, and he scores them.
Yeah, no, he scores them in bunches, and he scores them when it matters. So I definitely can't blame you there.
Well, that's about our time for this week. We'll be back at you next week after FC Dallas take on Montreal on Saturday.
Yeah, they're going up to Canada, so it'll be nice to see. I haven't watched much Montreal this year, but I do know they have a pretty good midfield, so it should be an interesting battle to see how we line up against them and how we approach the match. Yeah, I think next week we'll have some good talking points to see how well they get tested. Toronto was tough, but DC United was kind of a cakewalk, in my opinion. So it'll be nice to see how they adapt to not having to worry about the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how they recover after that devastating loss in the Open Cup semifinal against Kansas City.
It's a very physical match, that match. So it's good that they've had some time off.
For sure. I'm expecting them to come back with a fire lit inside them and just drum Montreal.
I would hope. Away points are any point of one away is a good point.
Seems that way. All right, folks. As always, subscribe, follow us on Twitter. We actually check out our website. It's DallasSoccerShow.com. Nothing fancy yet, but you can go there to find all of our shows in one spot if you are on a computer and don't have access to iTunes or whatever. So
for those of you in the 21st century who have smartphones, we're also on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Indeed. All right. Until next time.
All right. See you.